What's up, guys? So, I've been watching, like, Adam 22, Whack 100, and this is, like, a hip-hop segment real quick, so just so if anybody's not into hip-hop or what's going on in the culture, and I would like to play a little game called Let's See Who's Behind the Curtain, okay? Now, the reason why I say this is because I really don't care for No Jumper. That's just my opinion, right? So, you know, you look at this cat and this, you know, Adam, and you see how he came up and all this crazy stuff, how he, you know, he pimps out his girl. And I just wanted, and so he does that. There's, he has all these, you know, whack fucking rappers on there. There's never a talk of substance. It's just all just tomfoolery. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has nothing of substance to talk about. And, you know, so I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, Adam, you know, is a herb, first off. Like, he comes from New Hampshire. So, in New Hampshire, if anybody knows New Hampshire, so I come from Boston and I moved up here. I moved to New Hampshire about 10 years ago, right? So, you can only imagine how much, you know, evolution that this state has had, as far as, you know, social dynamics, you know, mixing in races and stuff like that. There's much more populated, you know, there's a little bit more populated black people up here, and in the time of Adam, when he was growing up, was even more rural, you know, than what you might be witnessing now or thinking of now. So, you know, it begs me to wonder that this kid does not have a racist bone in his, you know, you can't tell me that he doesn't have a racist bone in his fucking body, okay? And you say, well, why do you say that, Wayne? Well, the reason is because if you ever been to New Hampshire, you'll know that one, if up here during Trump, anybody that's in Massachusetts that comes up here for vacation knows that this is, you know, a really white spot, okay? And, you know, you'll see Confederate flags, you'll see people wearing Confederate shorts, you know, it's all that Americana, all right? Now, you know, this parts in the state that are just not totally with everything, okay? And there's a lot of racist people in this state, and that is just the truth, cold hard facts about it. So, you know, when I look at Adam and I see him all dressed up, like, you know, he obviously he didn't know how to find himself, so he was probably sitting in a skate park, running around, didn't really want to hunt, didn't want to farm, he didn't really want to put in that backbreaking work. So he starts skateboarding, you know, and this time starts listening to some fucking rap music, which he had to become two different people. You know what I mean? Like, with his white boy friends, he had to literally, you know, listen to Pantera, Metallica. And then, you know, if he got down closer to, the, like, Manchester, some Salem, say, if you will, he would probably start listening to rap. Okay? So It just strikes me so much that nobody sees the psychology of what he's doing. And what do I mean by that? So we all see that, like, there's a lot of black dudes with white women, and there's been, you know, there's been theories saying that, you know, it's more of control and, bringing back racism in a way, emasculating black men, and things of that nature, right? So for instance, if we pick up a few people that we know that are high profiled, who comes to mind? We have, you know, Tiger Woods and his girl. We have Kanye West, Kim. We have, Flavor Flav with the other white chick, You have, you know, and the list goes on, and there's a few more that escape my head, but you get what I'm saying, right? So on the flip side of that, it's what Adam is doing. Like, so, like, if everybody gets mad at, you know, so Fannie Willis, right? She says, so this is a black woman emasculating a black man, okay? Fannie Willis is the DA that was going after Trump, that had some you know, extracurricular activities after work with a co-worker, which then becomes a conflict of interest, right? So, and it, you know, and it just makes, it just throws bias into the case and stuff like that. So what happened was, is at the end of that case, somebody says, well, one of you is going to lose your job, okay? So it's either you, Fanny, or it's this, or it's your boyfriend. And if you lose your job, you most likely, your boyfriend will be, assume your position and be making more money than you. Well, Fanny said, well, fuck that. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? And she kept her job, and the other, and her boyfriend got fired. Emasculating a black man. Right there. Just making him feel less of a man. Okay? That's one instance. Like I said, all the other instances with the celebrities marrying white women and things of that nature. Coco, Ice-T, whatever. Well, the list goes on, right? So, if you look at Adam, right? This guy pimps out his woman. Like, that's your girl, dude. You know, like, first off, that's your girl. I don't care about no, like, you're, to me, you're soulless. You have no dignity, you have no integrity, you have no loyalty to your partner, or nor does your partner. You guys will sell your souls for fucking dollars, pennies on the dollar. For you to go ahead and do what you're doing, with two things were occurring. So either Adam, I'm sure, throughout their relationships, there's been ups and downs. And so, you know, maybe she said he has a small fucking dick, or maybe she says he can't fuck, or something. Okay, and they got into a fight. They get over it, whatever. And now this big, you know, thing comes about of where they want to do an OF thing, and he wants his girl to get plowed by a BBC. Okay, all right. And you're gonna sit there and you're just gonna do some voyeurism? Is that what it is? Okay, so tell me that this does not have emasculating a black man and then also controlling a black man as if it was in the days when slavery is around. So you have a white man that pays a black man to then punish his wife with a big black cock, right? Because he wants her to feel punished. And then he sits there and enjoys himself and pleasures himself saying, ha, I can control a black man to do this. And all of that transpires down to when he was a little boy and he grew up in the fucking sticks of New Hampshire. In the white power fucking, in the whiteness of it all, okay? And he sits there and nobody says anything on the contrary to this cat. But yet he posts things like he's like one of the top four of fucking hip hop culture. Dude, you're a fucking herb. What are you talking about? You've never seen a black person. How long, like, are you serious? I mean this with no disrespect to him. He knows as well as I know, if he didn't cross the line and go into Lawrence or any other lane, he didn't see a black person in New Hampshire until he was about fucking 16. Okay? And that is legit. That's legit as it gets, okay? Because I've been up here 10 years and we're talking 2015, 2014. Do you know how many black people I've seen in 10 years? I can count them on my fucking hands. And that's no joke. All right? I hate to be fucking considered by it. But that's not a joke. Like, literally, okay? So, like, but if you go to Manchester, yeah, you'll see more multicultural tinderbox as long as in Nashua. That's in 2016. But if you rewind that to 1978 or 85 or 89, that's a whole, we're talking about a whole different New Hampshire, even in Manchester and Nashua, Epping, whatever, right? So, now, here's a contrast. Anybody know Static Selector? DJ Static Selector. He runs a record label called Show Off Records, right? He does beats, okay? He's a DJ. Does beats, right? Sick with it, right? This cat is from New Hampshire as well. But what you'll see is the total difference of a cat that has what we used to call black by injection. You know what I'm saying? You were injected into the streets or into the hood or whatever, and you became a product of your environment, right? So you're a poem. He's a poem. Static Selector's a poem. So he knew that, like, yo, New Hampshire's not for me. Especially if you're digging in the crates and you're banging a Mobb Deep, you're banging to fucking, Mobb Deep, Two Live Crew, LL Cool J, Southern Cadillac, the Playalistic Pimp, Outkast, Wu-Tang, fucking Nas. I mean, the list goes on. This cat was bumping him. So Static knew that he had to get the fuck out of New Hampshire, right? Because he knew that he couldn't be who he wanted to be without being called like what I would be called is a, you know, oh, you're a wigger and you want to be black and you want to be this. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? All the shit that some of the 80s babies had to come up during rap, none of these cats will have to deal with. Because a lot of white boys can just drop N-bombs now in jail. And it's like nobody even says anything, two words, about somebody being a wigger. You know what I mean? Which is just totally fascinating to me, right? You know? And so Static knew that he had to get out, and he got out, and now where does Static live? Static lives in fucking New York, all right? Making beats, cranking them out, doing his thing, and he's done beats for the likes of everybody in the industry. I mean, you know, you name most of the, he was like the, you know, Static Selector was like an alchemist, you know what I mean? They weren't too, like, you know, loud with their shit. They weren't looking for all the accolades, but at the same time, They were looking for this and that. So, there were some people that were looking for these beats from this guy, and so they got them. And that's just it. And I just wanted to. I gotta pause here because I gotta get gas. Hold on. So who is Adam 22? Nothing but a fake and a fucking fraud. And you'd say to yourself, okay, Adam, well, you know, you're from New Hampshire, right? You talk about nothing. you're in the industry of being able to talk to other people. You know Static Selector comes from New Hampshire, but yet you'll never see a local person help out another local person. It's crazy. And like, you know, you got Static Selector that has rappers under his belt. And, you know, like, say, JFK, which is Justice for the Kids, you know, positive shit is going down and is coming out of, you know, Show Off Records, which has some kind of, you know, connection to Static Selector. And there's all this positive stuff. And in this world of this hip hop now, with all the fucking killing and shit and every other thing, it's like, I don't see how you wouldn't want to take some positivity and get some better views on talking about, you know, somebody that came from your area, did it in the biggest way, and is successful, maybe not as you are, but in the terms of doing it before you, he did it. He kind of blazed the fucking trail for you, kind of. Not in a DJ sense, but just being able to get out there and shit. I don't know. It's like, it's weird, dude. Like, I've never seen you do anything for your city, your town. I mean, do you ever give to a fucking local homeless charity in New Hampshire? I mean, you know, it's fucking amazing. It's just amazing. But you'll pimp out your chick, because you and I know you swung before. Okay, 17% of New Hampshire is full of swingers. Okay, so if you come up to New Hampshire and you see these stars, these little red stars or silver stars stuck on their houses, it's a clear indication. It's like a bat sign of saying, you know, hey, you know, we fucking swing over here. But the psychology of him pipping out his girl and then putting that on blast, how could you ever lay with her again? And nobody calls him out on emasculating black men by sitting there pleasuring himself on a voyeurism fucking, on a voyeurism kick, watching a black man dig down his wife. All for a monetary gain? Like, bro, you gotta be the most saddest character I have ever fucking seen. The most saddest character I've ever seen. And not to mention, like, when you're not at the studio, where the fuck are you? Because your eyeballs, bro, are so dark and so dreary. It's like, you must go somewhere and smoke some fucking heavy crack, some heavy coke, in a dark-filled room with nothing but cigar smoke and cognac or some shit. Because it looks like you just, sometimes it looks like you just stepped out of a fucking opium den, bro. And it's a fucking amazing how you're still alive. I find it fascinating because and that's the thing. Nobody ever calls out these cats. Do you know what I mean? Nobody ever calls out these cats. And so, what do you mean by that, Wayne? What to call him out on, you know, pipping out his wife? No, but let's just take this into consideration. Adam does a show with WAC 100 now, right? Okay, so a year ago, everybody comes up, like, I know I'm late on this shit, but it's because I really don't care about the hip-hop, but when you start getting into these really cross-hit type of things, and people want to put money up there to see a video or an audio, so the audio and the video exists, well, at least the audio does the video. So supposedly, you know, WAC 100 and the other one there, and Adam 22, they're fucking sitting there. Supposedly there's a tape of Nipsey Hussle. I guess supposedly he's gay. Allegedly he's gay. And whether the tape shows Laura London or somebody else on the thing, it shows that he was actually getting, you know, he was like fucking the dude, I guess. And there's video of this shit, and WAC supposedly has possession of this tape. Okay, great. So DJ Vlad and Adam really don't care for each other, because one day Adam thought it was going to be fucking a cool idea to have Vlad come down to the studio and run a podcast live. Now, Vlad wasn't really cool with doing the live podcasts and shit like that, but he goes, yeah, come down anyway. Now, we're talking Melrose. Just going to be me, you, and another cat. All right, cool, whatever. He takes him on his fucking word because he thinks he's a businessman at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So he's like, do I need security? And like, so Vlad says, like, I don't roll anywhere without security, which is a smart man. So he asks Adam, like, yo, should I bring security? Adam's like, nah, this is going to be a quiet night, maybe doing it in the middle of the night or something, or during the day, morning hour, whatever. It was just going to be a time where it would be pristine enough to where Vlad wouldn't have to worry about, you know, somebody fucking jacking him and shit, right? Or whatever the fuck. I mean, it's L.A. I mean, fucking, who cares if it's Melrose? It's L.A. So, anyway, Vlad gets down there. Make a long story short, all of a sudden, Vlad's doing the fucking interview, and Vlad sees two guys come in, and, now, nobody knows Vlad's strapped, okay? Now, whether he was or he wasn't is to be determined. It's all up for hearsay, but he goes on and tells the story, and he says, yeah, so I'm doing the fucking interview with Adam. He's talking to me, and these two guys come in, and they're walking back and forth, and I guess there's like a plexiglass where, you know, Vlad could kind of feel, you know, he was in the backs, but he could feel that, you know, something wasn't starting to be right. So this argument started kicking off, and shit like that. So it starts getting heated. I think there was like a fake fight or some shit. And then like somebody busts through the room and says like, fucking, you know, like, it was like, I don't know, either happy birthday or a fucking, oh, that was, you got pranked or something. And Vlad was, like, furious. He's like, that shit was not fun. He's like, he walked out. He wasn't feeling it. I could have killed one of you motherfuckers. I had a gun on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, where, why would I go into some place, into a whole, another hometown cat's place, and you know what I'm saying, on their turf, and not bring some type of protection? Especially when it's L.A., right? You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck if Cookies is there, or fucking Burner, or fucking, or what is the other kid there, the other cat that just got the store in Melrose. Oh, God, I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, so, like, all these guys got little stores in there. So, and in any event, Vlad was pissed, right? So, now, Vlad has a thing with WAC 100. They bury their issues, okay? So, Vlad has WAC on the fucking podcast on DJ Vlad's platform. And it was a clip. It was a clip of like, the whole, you know, you get clips, right? So, I get this clip. And they're talking about the Nipsey tape. So Vlad goes, so do you get the tape? And WAC just took a stance like, Vlad, how dare you even question me? Okay, first off, he goes, you know me. He goes, would I talk out of school like that? So Vlad's keeping quiet. Now they have history, so that's why. So they're not getting, you know. So, you know, that's why there's like a little bravado as far as on WAC side. So he shrugs his shoulders, kind of like as if like, huh, you're gonna question me? He goes, so Vlad, how about this? He goes, how much you worth, Vlad? He goes, you make money, Vlad, you're good, right? He goes, your platform is high up. He goes, you make money. He goes, let's put 5 mil on to see if I got the fucking video. So Vlad's like, he's like, nah, WAC, I'm not gonna bet you. And then Vlad shuts him down. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. He goes, no, really, seriously. 5 mil, and I'll put up the video. Right? So Vlad, again, repeats, you know, listen, I'm not going to bet with you. So then this is when we play. Let's see who's behind the curtain, okay? Now, WAC counters and says, all right, well, fuck it, Vlad. Let's break it down to a piece of meat. $1 million. Woo! From 5 to 1. Holy shit. Okay. So if I was Vlad, I'd have been like, yeah, alright, bet. You got the million on that. So Vlad doesn't even do that. My question is when we play, let's play who's behind the curtain. If WAC was gonna take $1 million to see the videotape, if you look at all the views, if you took all the viewerships off of these clips in the videos, and everybody paid $2, $1 or $2, we'd have more than enough to make WAC 100 put his fucking money where his mouth is. Okay? So tell me, riddle me this. Why has anybody ever did a, nobody's never did a crowdfunding? You're telling me all the hip hop fucking consumers and fans and the mural painters and all the the marathon people, and you're telling me there ain't a disgruntled employee that would like to know if this was that? Because it's not about his personal issue and Nipsey's personal shit. It's about if, one, he was getting extorted. Two, how bad do you guys go and how far will you guys go to make us believe something that is not fucking real? So in this day and age, when we're coming out on conspiracies, right, why doesn't anybody make a GoFundMe to put the money up, to get the money up? I'd throw in $5. You're telling me anybody that listens to this podcast wouldn't throw a couple bucks in to see the Nipsey Hussle video? Nipsey Hussle video? Of him having gay sex and then throwing the load getting thrown in the woman? And who's the woman? Is that Laura London? Because Laura hasn't said shit about this fucking tape. And if it's her, I'm sure she doesn't want to be caught in that type of fucking compromising way. Okay? So, again, the game is who's behind the curtain and let's play it. Because nowadays, it's like, You guys can get in touch with, you know, you can make academics a star. You can make 1090 Jake a fucking star. You can make a six. You can make 6ix9ine, which is a pedophile, a fucking star. You know, it's crazy. So you're telling me nobody cares to see this in the fucking in the world of gossip? You're telling TMZ. You're telling me TMZ wouldn't pay $1 million to get this footage to make $30 million. Or $10 million just on the sell, on the rights alone, selling it and this and that and having the scoop on this. What? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking... And some people are going to say, oh, well, let Nipsey rest. I'm letting Nipsey rest. I really don't care about his sexual activities. It's about the length that the industry is willing to go to make you believe something so they can keep selling fucking records. It's about the money. So if it's about the money, I want to put up the money and I want to see the fucking video. Because if you got that much balls, whack, to go on fucking flat and ask for $5 million, then let's go fund me for the $5 fucking million. You're telling me nobody's willing to put up that money? Bullshit. Even if the money was put up, I'd still the state the he still wouldn't fucking release the fucking video. Okay? And then you say to yourself, okay, so now why even bring up a situation like that and say you have a video when now we got the money and now you're gonna fucking pull bitch and say, oh, no, I don't want to do that out of respect of this and that. Fuck you, whack. How much is it gonna take? What's your price? Name a price for the video and let's go fund the video. Is anybody down with that? Spread this all to your hip-hop friends and say, let's see the fucking video. Let's pony up the money. Somebody get a loan from Drake. Somebody get a loan from here. Somebody get a loan from there. You're telling me nobody... Do you know how much money you would make on the flip on that? Off a million of Nipsey being gay and him... Somebody's... Are you shitting me? That'd be the biggest tape since fucking Kardashian. That would make somebody a billionaire. Think about it. Think about it real quick before you say, ah, he's talking off his... Think about it. It turned Kardashian into a billionaire. So tell me it wouldn't turn somebody else into a fucking billionaire if they had that footage. Let's just say we GoFundMe, right? Everybody, we own the footage, right? Listen to me. You buy the footage, we GoFundMe, right? Not me personally, but a GoFundMe page for the nip tape. You get the nip tape. Everybody that's donated now gets a stake into any profits that fucking goddamn video will make. And how's this deal? And I'll put a sweet little cherry on it. 20% of the revenue that we get after we get the tape will go to charity. Okay? How about that? So let's see who's behind the... Let's play the game on who's behind the fucking curtain. Here's another one for you. Gene Deal, bodyguard of Diddy for a long time. I mean, knows every fucking skeleton's secret, right? So, Gene's been talking all about this, and Mark Curry, which is to me is more complicit in any of this shit than anybody. I mean, you know, I mean, he just looks like a creep. And Vlad, I don't see how you don't just call up Mark Curry and say, hey, how do you even try to fucking do a business deal with me on Piers Morgan in the middle of a fucking interview, okay? That's just classless, first off. So Gene Deal starts talking about, Diddy and... you know, the Shine incident, and then this is recently, you know, he was talking now whether either the Art of Dialogue channel has spurred off into another channel called Say Cheese, or that's, you know, some one of his boys or whatever, but it's just funny that all these channels that spur up, like, already have top names, and that's what drives me nuts about Adam 22, like, you'll have Orlando fucking Brown on there, okay, on your podcast, and that's your boy, but yet you can't help a local cat that's actually, you know, doing something positive, and you won't have them on your platform because, one, either A, you're jealous because he's too black for you, because deep down inside he's gonna look at you and say, you're a fucking herb, you're a fucking fake, Just like that 1090 fucking J kid, he's a fucking fake, okay? If you need tattoos on your face, you're a fucking fake. I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. You don't need tattoos on your face. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just trying, like, it's like the tattoos on Adam are like cover up in L'Oreal for women on makeup every day. You know, it hides the true person that he fucking is. You know what I mean? So Adam fucking, I'm sorry, so excuse me, Gene Deal is on there talking about Diddy, and he's talking about, you know, the Shine incident. Now, he says, allegedly, he says that he has, not allegedly, but he says that he has a tape of when Diddy, during the Shine incident, he has a fucking video of that incident. Now, whether that is giving fucking Shine the fucking gun in the fucking, whether that was giving Shine the gun in the club, or whatever happened after that, Gene Deal has the video of. So, if there's a federal probe on Diddy, obviously the feds are going to knock on Gene Deal's door and say, where's the videotape of the Shine incident? Now, it goes so far. Now, this whole thing is going so far as to say, as there's a woman that got struck by the bullet that has a piece of the bullet fragment in her fucking face that she's willing to dig out, surgically dig it out, and what are they going to do, a ballistics fucking test on a chip of a bullet? What? And so I'm just looking, I'm laughing, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is starting to become a fucking circus, okay? I mean, so much so that 5 years ago, we remember the cat that was in the hotel and started shooting it out with the cops. Remember that guy? Well, we all know if you're putting a hospital gown, you're gonna be labeled crazy, or you're gonna be labeled at least discredited, at very least, right? So my thing is that was 5 years ago, and this guy was talking about, one is a fucking fact, he got an STD. If you listen to that interview, he goes, I caught an STD by being a sex slave for Sean Combs. Okay? He goes, Sean would be on the phone, I'd be in the back, he'd get called out, and he'd fucking go and do what he has to do. Now, if you look at all these cats, if you look at Cassie, who she married, the trainer, this guy literally, Diddy, would go out and find male escorts that all they would do would be hard bodies. You go into a gym. Go to a Planet Fitness, a gym in the morning. You see a guy. Okay? Look, there's gonna be some questions there. Especially if you put a couple sexy chicks next to him and he's still, like, just banging out his workout without taking a look, you already know what's going on, right? So this guy's well in shape. Okay, he's you know, I don't know what nationality is, but he's not full blown American. And then second, he's got a little bit of a mental issue, obviously, right? So this becomes apparent to Sean, to where he says, okay, I can Buffalo this kid, and if he's got a, and I'm sure they can do a fucking background check, because he's a fucking, you know, Sean's a fucking billionaire at the end of the day. So he can run all the background checks, see what type of shit that he has going on, whether he's got fucking mental issues, you know, what's his background, his criminal history, yada yada, the whole kit and caboodle, all the pedigree information that he needs, right? Got it. So the guy gets bopped in the middle of a shootout, right? I'm not sure, it might have been in like one of Trump's hotels or whatnot, but he drapes like an American flag over it, and he starts shooting out the cops. Now, whether that was like a psychotic break, or he just don't know how to, you know, lay it out to anybody, is to be determined, right? But what he says in this fucking interview, and it's all over YouTube right now, and this was 5 years ago. So he goes on to say that he caught an STD at one of Diddy's parties on his boat, and he fucking sued, and he won. for 5.3 mil. Now, whether that is fucking true or not, I have no idea. I didn't do the background, but I think there was one kid there, Jesse, does the fucking Law Network or something like that. I think he covered it and he said he couldn't find out any background on that. But if that was true, there'll be a medical record to find out if he did it, to find out if he was positive for an STD. That gentleman would have had to went to a fucking medical fucking place, right? Okay, now let's just think back. Who else has a fucking STD that was under Diddy for a long time since he was a kid? You got it, Ursha, baby. So, just indulge me. Just indulge with me for a quick second. We all know we got hoes in different area codes. We all know from the game that all these hoes are the same everywhere we go. He sees the same hoe, okay? So, let's just say that the same person that gave fucking... the same person that gave Usher an STD could have been the same person that this gentleman might have fucking had relationships with. Okay? I know it's a stretch, but I'm just saying, you know, shit... Hey, if you look how fucking small this game is, and you know, we got hoes in different area codes, everywhere I go, I've seen the same hoe. It's just... Okay? You've got to put that into perspective and say, okay, just in the world of shits, and you look at celebrities and how, like, Billy Bob Thornton's fucking Angelina Jolie, then she's fucking Brad Pitt, then she fucking, you know, and then she, now, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on. Billy Bob Thornton, and like, they shared their blood and shit, right? Then you got J-Lo running around with everybody, and then she falls back to fucking Ben. It's like all these people end up fucking each other. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you had Will Smith's sloppy seconds. Oh, okay, all right. Well, supposedly Pac might have hit fucking Pinkett. You know what I'm saying? Or fucking Faith, and that was probably real. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, all these lies and all these things that made hip hop what it is now could have been all based on bullshit. And so that's why. You know, why not GoFundMe and ask Gene Deal to give us up the fucking tape that shows us something about Diddy? Or why didn't you even go to the police yourself and say, hey, like, this is not what it is? Did you sign an NDA to where you can't? Because that's the case. You can't hide behind those no more because he broke the law. So it nulls and voids the NDA. So you can say whatever the fuck you want. That's why he's out talking shit. Because he knows the NDA doesn't work. So he knows that he can release the fucking video. So what's up, Gene? What's the deal? What's the deal, bro? Who's behind the curtain, dog? Like, show us the fucking tape. Whack. Put your money where your mouth is. Show us the tape. Right? Instead of sitting there being a culture vulture, trying to talk and say, oh, I got this and I got that and blah, 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 and, you know, and shit like that. It's like, bro, you know what I'm saying? So, they go and ask, like, the game about the Nipsey tape. You know, of course, game ain't gonna say anything. Because he's part of the fucking establishment. Hold on, we got to open. Hello. How are you?
Thank
you as well. And so, you know, we have Ursha. So Usher has an STD. Was under P. Diddy for a long time, right? And then you have two people that conceive a child through love. He gets birthed. His name is Justin Bieber. And at the tender age of 13 or 14, they release custody to a man that they have no fucking idea of what they do or how they act or whatever, and you sign over custody of your son for 48 hours. To me, I don't think there's a court that could settle something for 48 hours. I think it was more longer than that, at least 6 months. Because if you have a custody issue, you need a new guardian or a parental guardian, you got to sign that shit over, and you can't do it for 48 hours and shit. Saying, oh, well, my kids, you know, they told me that he was going to make $150 million, so I just sold my, so I just fucking gave my kid away, you know, for the sake of money, is what you did. You essentially just gave your kid away for the hopes of becoming rich. That is the most evilest fucking thing I've ever, ever seen. Now you look at Justin Bieber. He's got strokes in his fucking face and every other fucking thing. He's got a stroke in his face, can't smile, can't do nothing. He's sitting there, he's standing in the road. And not standing in the road, he's standing in the concert, trying to talk to somebody. Will Smith's kid comes up behind him. He looks over and he gives him a big slap of a big, big, fat, wet kiss on the cheek, as to like, yeah, man, I know you. Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm already hip to this game. You know, and it's like, how does Will Smith's son even like get into the position to put him in that type of position? Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, it makes absolutely no sense at all. Like, why would you sign your kid over? So then you guys, well, I'm sure you guys seen the videotape of where what's his face is Justin Bieber's at a beach or something, and he's talking, and so P. Diddy's talking with him. And he says to him, he goes, Justin's older at this time. So Justin's like standing there, and there's Diddy just patting his chest as if like, yo, you wearing a wire and shit. And, you know, Justin's got his head down like, nah, you know what I mean? And like, who's holding the camera? I'm sure it's fucking TMZ at that point. Do you know what I mean? Because they're everywhere. Because the people that control these people, the moguls, want eyeballs on them all the time. That is the all-seeing eye for the heavy elites to make sure everybody is in line. Just like in basketball. Look at your basketball training practices are getting recorded because I got to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do as I pay you. And we all know how that comes down and how that gets looked at, right? So, you know, how much more do you need to see to say, okay, something's amiss here? Either Adam, academics made his like break by chasing down fucking Joe Buttons, if memory serves me correctly. And like Joe got out of his car and was like, I'm gonna kill one of you motherfuckers. Like, you keep fucking with me, I'm gonna hurt you. Which got academics the traction. So academic starts getting the traction doing this, and then finally he does a sit down with Joe and all this shit and yada yada yada, and maybe that was due to the court issues that, you know, might have had arisen from one of the times that academics had might have chased him down. So now No Jumper wants to make a post saying that Vlad, academics, himself, and Joe Buttons are like the leading four fucking podcast people for hip-hop and culture entertainment. Which I find fucking fascinating, because I'm surprised Joe hasn't came out and said, who the fuck is Adam? Adam is nothing but a skateboarder kid skateboarding in the pool in the middle of freaking shit-kicking, smelly farming fucking New Hampshire. Okay? So what the fuck does he have... what the hell does he know about the culture? Like, how many... Like, recite me... I want you to recite me fucking bars, bro. Recite me bars of hip-hop that you know from back in the day. And if you're like me, if you was like me, or you're like Static, you'll know every fucking word from, like, the infamous to fucking the most current shit. Okay? So, we're talking... What, 40 years of... We're talking 30 years, 35 years of hip-hop fucking bars from Ja Rule, Jay-Z, DMX, and all the albums that these people put out, 50, all that. We can recite the bars off the back of our fucking hands. You shitting me? So, he's not a fan. He's a fake. And people buy this shit. They buy this shit. And, you know, I got a thing. I got a thing about the kid, the 1090 J kid. I had a feeling that this, like I said, I'm behind the eight ball on most of this shit. So I'm watching 1090 Jake before he got big, like a couple years ago, and I'm hearing him, and I'm like, yo, this kid sounds like he's from fucking Boston, and it's not like South Boston. It's like Revere, Malden, Chelsea, Everett type slang of talk, all right? So, like, fucking, I'm listening to him, and I'm like, this cat is from, I swear, as my mother's my witness, I didn't Google this kid until, like, fucking 4 days ago, because when I was on, because I don't really get on social media. So now that I do the podcast, I get on social media, I get on Instagram and all that, so I'm following a few people just to get some news and things like that to bring to you guys and put my two cents on it, right? So I'm late on the, I'm a year behind on the Nipsey thing, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of late on a few other things. But what I want to bring to you is that when I look at these things now and the people that I know that might know these, that in six degrees separation, it starts to make it look fucking fuzzy. Do you know what I mean? So 1090 Jake sounds like he's from fucking Boston. So I go up and I go and look at No Jumper, and there's like these allegations of him maybe being an informant. And I guess this paperwork about him being an informant. Now, if he's from... Now, he, I think, lived in Malden. And I lived in Malden, in Newland Street Projects. We were all rapping back then. We were all rapping. I've never once heard of this kid. I've never once... I think maybe once or twice I might have seen the cat. I don't know. But he's got that familiar fucking face. If you erase that, you know, erase that camouflage fucking tattoo face shit to make him look bad. So he's living in like Malden until like 2018, and this is when I looked it up when I seen the Instagram, and I make a comment which sounded stupid. I'm like, I don't know, is this cat really from Boston? Because like I hear the accent, but I hear a little draw, you know what I'm saying? So I hear the draw, but I hear the accent. So I'm like, oh, he must have moved to something. So then I Google his name and I find out that he literally moved to Florida in like 2018 and then moved back to Boston. Or wherever he's at now, in Malden or something. And I'm saying to myself, there is no way, this is what I'm saying. If you go back to Malden, then, and why don't you, so here's another thing. Why doesn't the local cat support another local cat? Why doesn't he reach out to Mills? Why doesn't DJ Vad reach out to Mills? Why doesn't No Jumper reach out to Mills? Millies, right? Why doesn't 1090J try to contact Static Select, especially when he was on the come up? Why doesn't 1090J try to, you know, talk with Static and say, oh hey, you know you're a local dude, I'm a local hip hop fan, ba 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 ba. I lived in Malden. I might have heard the usual suspects. I've might have seen this Winter Hill Gang thing. I've might have seen he might know this kid Neezy, which was the head rapper of Usual Suspects, which was like the most advanced rap group that we had going on locally. Do you know what I mean? At that time, there was my boy Ant Plots that had, you know, he had a few things going on: Evil Mass, Poets of War, now Sun Poet of War, or something like that. My other boy Anthony Clark. He's doing songs with Big Country or New Country from New Hampshire, but nobody reaches out to New Country and say, hey, what's going on? Da 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 da. It's just weird how there's so many, the circle's so small but yet so big, and nobody tries to help anybody out. Like, it's weird. And that's the one thing anybody will tell you about New Hampshire or Boston. There's not a Boston cat that will support another Boston cat. Do you know what I mean? Like when Made Men was out, like does 1090 Jake was probably fucking 10 years old when Made Men came out. All right, and Benzino was doing his thing. But this is the shit. This is the shit. Like, I'm like, you know, why? How did you catch your break, bro? How did 1090 Jake catch his break? You're telling me? So he just got up in front of a camera, like I'm in front of my phone right now, just talking a bunch of shit. Hi, ma'am. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have a good day.
You as well. and he gets up there and he starts talking a bunch of shit, and now all of a sudden he's fucking the face of fucking black music. I mean, as far as culture, information and shit. I mean, what to me, it's bullshit. And that's, and here, and here's the cap to everything. So we see this circle of podcaster people. You see DJ Vlad, you see motherfucking, you know, Adam, Joey, Ack, right? You see all these cats. You see, you know, $1 million worth of game. I can't stand that dude. Like, Gilly, I can't stand you, bro. I can't stand you. Like, your kid dies, and you're still doing this shit. You're still doing this shit. And it doesn't even seem like you even missed a cat. Like, I couldn't even fathom losing my son and then still be able to, you know, talk about the culture that took my kid without trying to make some fucking fundamental change. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you listen to Dame Dash when he's on PBD podcast, he's trying to make change for black kids. Do you know what I mean? And it's not about how much he makes. It's about how much his artists make or the people that he fucking works with makes. Now, I know Dame is, you know, everybody talks shit about him. But if you listen to the cat, he fucking blew Pat David's mind. Blew his mind away when he... And check out the clip. It's fucking insane. Dame's sitting there and he's like, yo. He goes, they're talking about Leo Cohen. And Leo Cohen's a fucking culture vulture. So Leo is now the head of a global international YouTube monetary CPM-like fucking guy, okay? So he's like the fucking, the chief financial officer of like CPM for fucking YouTube globally, okay? So Dan goes, yeah, he goes, so do you know what your CPM is? And Pat's like, yeah, I get like $3-4. He goes, do you know how much they're making? He goes, no. He goes, so you don't know, so they could be making $25 and you're getting $3. He goes, let me ask you something, Pat. He goes, do you have your data? Does YouTube give you your data? And he goes, no. He goes, okay. He goes, and that's why you can't negotiate for any higher price. And he goes, well, I get sponsors. He goes, no. I'm not talking about sponsors. He goes, I'm just talking strictly what they bake in the commercials into your videos. He goes, I have a TV production company. Now, Dame Dash was filming Paper Soldiers, which made Kevin Hart a fucking star. Okay? Which made Kevin Hart a star. Now, if you want to call Kevin Hart a plant, you would have to manek Dame Dash and say, Dame, where did you find Kevin Hart? When you did Paper Soldiers and you were casting, how did you cast for the part for Kevin Hart? How did Kevin Hart get the part of being with Stu, which was Beanie Siegel? How did Kevin Hart get that part? Where did he come from? And the only person with to know that question is Dame Dash or some of his fucking people. So if you manect Dame Dash, which is an app where you can ask famous people questions, or you can text them, you can text them, or you can send them a video, and you can pay like $20 for a text back and like $50 for a video response back, okay? So if you manect Dame Dash, we could find out how much, if Dame Dash is really part of the global fucking elite system here, or if he's not. And guess what we call this game? Let's see who's behind the fucking curtain. So somebody can manect Dame Dash and ask him the question of how did they get Kevin Hart to play next to Stu in Paper Soldiers, which is Beanie Siegel. How did he get the part? And where did you do the casting call for that? Okay? That is one part. That is one peel of the onion to find out if Kevin Hart's a fucking plant like Cat Williams says he is. Because when I seen Paper Soldiers, it was the same time where the Rockefeller Dynasty was coming out and things like that. So this was like at the top of, this was just hitting the peak of like Rockefeller's, you know, stardom, if you will. Okay? And, you know, Bleak was on, Beanie Siegel was going to run a cartoon. Okay? So all this shit, Dame knew about the TV. And he goes, I know about CPMs. He goes, I know about programming the search engine shit. He goes, I know about waterfalls. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? So he's saying this shit to Pat Bet David. And Pat Bet David, he goes, you don't know what they're making you. And he goes, I bet you people are trying to find out. He goes, yeah, you damn. He goes, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out now. So Pat Bet David has been getting screwed off of his CPMs from YouTube because YouTube won't give you your data, right? So they sell your data. They make a fucking bundle on that. And then they sell, and then they don't show you your analytics or the other data that's driven. Like, what do I mean by that? So when you watch a video and you want to comment on that, so now you're sitting there still on the video, you're commenting on the page, and that's an impression. So the longer your comment goes, the longer the impression stays there as a data analytic, right? So not only, so now let's say you're making a comment and you forgot a little piece of the video and you're watching a 2-minute short. Now you bring the short back. Yeah, you gave it a second view and you're still on there typing. Now after a short, it might just, you know, bring you to another feed or it'll stop right there. If it stops right there, all that data to get, to see how long a person will stay, and some people will write a short comment, a sentence, and some people will write paragraphs, right? Well, the people that write paragraphs, if you had data analytics to show you, you would know how long you could sneak in another fucking commercial through the person commenting just because the impressions could be up, you know, 2,000%. So it's like, oh, hey, you know, you want to know how to, you know, screw in a light bulb, leave a comment down below. Now that's an impression. You hit the like button, that's another impression. So now you hit the like button, you press the thing, you gave them a view, you hit the like button, you press subscribe, and now you're going to make a comment. That's 4 impressions, right? That's 4 fucking data analytics that you can find, that you can be able to negotiate and give yourself traction when you go up and you negotiate for more CPM and more royalty money off of YouTube. But they ain't going to give you that because, according to Dame, Lior is fucking everybody. And why does YouTube go to get Lior Cohen? Because they know that he knows how to fucking do this shit. He knows how to make people happy. He knows how to make the artists happy back in the day. And still fucking was able to put his arms around 90% of the rappers in the game. Right? So everybody on YouTube's getting royalty screwed. To the point where Pat Bet David, a guy that's worth fucking $500 million, 200 in cash, 300 in investments, and he didn't know his own CPA. That's when Dame Dash goes, well, how fucking smart are you? Blew his fucking mind. Like, what? Here's a cat that's got a net worth of like $2 million, says he's got nothing of it, but it's all sunk into the streets. You got a man that has a fucking platform, heard by millions, worth $500 million, got a fucking minority stake into the New York Yankees, and he doesn't know his CPA, his CPM. He's not negotiating for a higher CPM. So that means the Google and the YouTube mafia has the control to where the billionaire, or the aspiring billionaire, is not going to become a billionaire because, listen, we like you, Pat. You play by the rules. You don't ask tough questions. You ask tough questions, but you don't ask tough questions. You'll ask this, you'll ask that. He skims the line of conspiracy theories, and he jumps right back into fucking safe mode. Well, if you don't feel like answering that question, that's fine. That's cool. We'll just move on. Dame Dash fucking schooled Pat Bet David on the CPMs, and everybody, I swear, that sees that fucking clip is going to start going to Google and saying, I want more CPM. Now, here's the catch. Rumble is starting to do this, and this is why Rumble's going to blow up. And YouTube, if it doesn't make the fucking change now, because of this video, Rumble's about to take over. Okay? Rumble is going to start an auction, if you will, where they'll have a board and they'll have sponsors that are willing to pay so much for so much, Like, Web 3 is going to be the... I don't mean to be jumping off, but Web 3 is going to be the future, okay? The Web 3. Web 3 is going to be... If you guys ever heard of a cryptocurrency called Noodle, N-O-D-L-E, it leverages your phone's Bluetooth with the network, okay? And it's a Web 3 network. Now, if you download this app called Click, let's just say you're a creator. Well, you create something, or you're a fucking, an AI fucking photo fucking synthesis shop, all right? And you generate photos, they have the watermark of that app, right? Well, some people can crop your fucking photo and get that watermark outright. You can take that watermark out, right? Okay. Well, what's going to happen with Web3 is that's going to be no longer, no more. Everything's going to be copywritten from the here on out, from videos to fucking to photos to anything and everything. So so what's going to happen is that once the Web3 gets going, which is going to probably take probably by the end of this year, it'll be flying, especially when Rumble comes out with the shit that they're coming out with, because the sponsors are paying an exuberant amount of money and the influencers are getting shit. So Rumble starts seeing that, and they take a page out of Dame Dash's book, and they're going to say, okay, well, we're going to have this Web3 based, so if I get this app called Click, I'll take a photo, and it'll get it, it. What it does is when you take that photo, it puts it on a blockchain, okay? So if you're a crypto guy and you're a fucking Bitcoin guy, then you'll understand where this is going. So I take a photo. Wherever I'm at, I take a photo. It logs in the date, the time, the IP address, the coordinates, the GPS coordinates of exactly where that fucking photo was taken. And it gets logged into a block. Then you sign it. You digitally sign it, okay? And it gets logged into the blockchain. Now, if anybody uses that fucking photo, you have legal repercussions to say, now you owe me money from that fucking photo that you stole. Okay, so it's not, so, you know, it's going to be part of, like, everybody that's on TikTok or, you know, that does creations and shit, you have no control of that video, you have no ownership, because you're putting it in the hands of Google. So what all you creators need to do is start getting your own URLIs, okay? It takes money to make money, so the people that are making money, get your own URL, right? Make yourself an LLC, so this way here you can keep your own fucking data. So you want to become an LLC, have your own URL, and then start to get into the Web3 to where you can start copywriting your videos. Because anybody that does a reaction video, if it's not okay by the creator, they can only run that for about 15 seconds at tops without having to stop it and talk a little bit, or there'll be a copyright infringement and there'll be and then the video gets demonetized, right? So that's how it goes. So Rumble is going to make like a flea market, if you will. So you go to this board and it says, okay, Pepsi, Harbor Freight, McDonald's, Walmart, they're willing to pay, you know, X amount of dollars for X amount of views. Now, what the key part of this is that the sponsors want to know if they're seeing, if it's a real person that's watching the video, or if it's a bot that might have followed the person, and yeah, it's getting pushed on there, but they're not actually getting seen by the people. Do you know what I mean? So for every 1,000 views they get every 2 minutes, how many of them are really real people that are actually watching the sponsorship, or it's just a bot that it was following them? Do you know what I'm saying? So when Rumble comes out with this, they're going to have a way, which will probably be in through the Web3, to be able to say, okay, when you put out this, when the sponsor pays for this and you get a viewer, you're going to know that it was a real person viewed the commercial, not just some fucking bullshit thing. Do you know what I mean? And that's where it's going to go. And that's what's going to get the micro influencers a little bit more money, because they're going to say, hey, instead of getting $3 a CPM for every commercial, we'll give you $3K right now to see if you can give us 5,000 views. Do you know what I mean? And so let's just say you have 5,000 followers, and they're real people. Now you just made yourself money because you know all your followers are real. So everybody that, you know, has followers on your Twitters and everything like that, you don't know if any of them are 100% authentic. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you know? You're not going to go sift through 57,000 people. But you can say at least fucking 5% of that is bots. Or some people that might have followed you but that are not on the platform no more. So maybe they run the Snap or something like that. You get what I'm saying? So that's why Rumble's saying, hey, look, we're going to have it targeted right to people that are fucking... That are definitely looking at the creator's content, so your sponsorship will definitely be seen by real eyeballs and not a bot, and they'll be able to do that. And that's why if YouTube doesn't make a change now, due to what Rumble has been talking about, Chris Plavowski, I think it was, what he's been saying. The second and third quarter should ramp up, especially as for their daily active users numbers are insane. They're up, and now it's just the creator's content and the sponsorship, and that's what he's going to do. And he's going to start a whole new way to have micro influences make money and make bigger money, and that is going to pull people away from TikTok. That's going to pull people away from YouTube and everything else, and it's going to be on Rumble. And so that's just something I wanted to just put in the air, let you guys think about that. You're more than welcome to go to Rumble and go to Weeble, and you can go to Pat Bed David's podcast with the Rumble CEO, and he'll tell you what he did to not get fucked like other people did by using proxy servers and shit like that. He's got his own server network. He doesn't do proxy servers because if you're using a proxy server like Amazon, they can pull the plug and then your shit's fucked. And he mentions that in the Pat Bet David podcast. So, you know, for all you creators out there and all the people that just think that, oh, well, you know, hey, you could fucking... They make an illusion that you can just come up and you can start up and you can just do what everybody else is doing. Do you know what I mean? It's just not like that. Unless they are somebody that, you know, pushed through the bubble, and when they go in the circle, they said, okay, listen, you can't go around. Well, why doesn't academics go chase down anybody else no more, right? What, you know what I'm saying? Why isn't nobody talking about any more controversy? Why isn't DJ Vlad fucking putting up the money to see the fucking Nipsey Hussle video? Why has nobody started a GoFundMe to see if the Nipsey Hussle exists? Why didn't even Nipsey Hussle's people try to buy it off of WAC just to bury the fucking thing? All these questions, folks. Who's behind the curtain? I love y'all. Catch you on the next one. Peace!